So, welcome to Back in the Game Sunday. Yay! I see some team colors out there, some local schools, some loco schools. I won't go into that. What's that penalty? Another penalty? Unnecessary roughness. Yeah. So, I've been looking forward to this one this year a little bit more because I've been holding on to something, feeling like this was the Sunday that I was supposed to share something with us as a congregation. And this is something that I believe could really potentially help us as a congregation in so many ways. But even more, how many of you understand if we have a big congregation, but the numbers are big, but the individuals are not? That's not a special thing. Like, I don't want to have big numbers and no big people. Now, I don't mean that we're all going to, you know, we are having a carry-in dinner afterwards, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about growing that way. I'm talking about growing spiritually and seeing people experience things in God that they haven't experienced before. And I believe there's always more to experience. There's always more to experience in God. There's another level that we can take it to. And sometimes when we feel like we're going backwards in this world, we're actually moving forward in the Spirit because God's taking us into places where He can teach us things and show us things. So I'm really excited about today's message because, as I said, I've been kind of sitting on it, waiting on the right time. And a couple of times earlier this year, I was about to do it, and I thought, no, not yet. Not yet. I didn't really have it together in my head that it was going to happen today on Back in the Game Sunday, but it is going to happen today. And a little history. Back in the Game Sunday was something that we did, you know, 23 years ago probably for the first time. We actually did the first year that I was here. The first year that I was here was 25 years ago, and we didn't have any special thing that year. And then the next year we did a thing called Back in the Saddle Sunday. And that's because the wonderful hillbilly church that I pastored before I came here did Back in the Saddle Sunday. And the idea was that, you know, we would dress up in Western garb and we would come and get back in our church habit because every church goes through this. We all know that vacations happen a lot during the summer. Now, it has changed. How many of you noticed people take more vacations at different times of year now than they used to? Used to be vacations were a summertime thing. That's when the kids were out of school. That's when everybody, you know, that's the only time you could do it. Now people seem to take a vacation every other week. I don't know how they do that, but sometimes they do. It's pretty amazing. And so the vacation season would take people out of their church habit, and we were encouraging people to get back in their church habit. So we would have a special carry-in and dress up like cowboys, and it was fun. And then we tried it here once, and it worked pretty good, except for it was a little alarming when we had the ushers come forward and the two guys that came up had on those long, what do you call those long? Well, they didn't have chaps. Well, one of them had chaps on, but the long duster jackets. And when I said, all right, it's time to receive the offering, let's pray, both of them slipped their duster jacket behind their revolvers so we could take up the offering. So anyway, that was an interesting offering that day. But, you know, just the different things that we've done over the years, we switch it to Back in the Game because this, you guys are more gamey. That's all I can say. You're more fun with that kind of stuff. And so we've been doing this for quite a while now. And it's still, the original idea was to encourage people to get back in their church habit after, you know, Labor Day is over and all the holidays and all the vacations and everything. And so get back into church habit. And while I appreciate that, and I do appreciate, you know, the idea of maybe getting back into church, I also would like to think that while some of you haven't always been at church, you've been out being the church while you're out there. Because we talk about that a lot here, right? We want to be the church, not just do church on Sundays, but we want to be the church. It's a big deal. Anyway, this is a Sunday where we wear our team colors and use sports metaphors, and today I'm going to do the same a little bit. That's what we do on this Sunday. And then afterwards we go and we eat, and everybody's welcome to come and eat. Even if you didn't bring anything, the Lord will provide. I believe that. Besides that, my wife brings enough for me and her and 10 other people, and so there's always 20, she says. Okay. So, But anyway, if you look across the room and you see some of the team colors today, people wearing shirts, probably the most prevalent thing is college football. Football. Have you noticed that? Football is a big deal here in America. In fact, from everything that I've read, football is the number one sport. We have basketball and baseball and hockey just to give us something to do while football's not going on. Boo. Boo. Well, a lot of people feel that way, though. Should I call a penalty on myself there? Okay. Never mind. I don't want to make that too loud. I'll use it if I have to. And almost every Sunday when we've done this, at least for the last decade or so when we've done this Back in the Game Sunday, I've had my now somewhat famous quote. It's actually been quoted by a bunch of other pastors. Surprise! Well, somebody who was really important quoted me, didn't tell them who it was, but quoted me, and then it got repeated all over the place. But we as the church should be the opposite of the NFL. We should practice on Sunday and then be in the game all week long. They're practicing all week, getting ready for the game. We should come and get ready for the game. And the game is us being out there doing what God's given us to do. So, what is the biggest scoring opportunity in football? Anybody know? Touchdown! Of course, everybody knows, right? Woohoo! Guys out there with their hands up like this. Yay, touchdown. Good. You know, when I think of touchdown, it reminds me of that. Isn't it great when God reaches down and touches us? I like it when God reaches down and touches our situation, touches our circumstances, touches our heart, touches our emotions, touches us. God wants to touch you in all sorts of ways. Touchdown is a big deal. And I want to talk to you about having more touchdowns today. What if we could increase the number of encounters that we have with God? How many of you would like to increase the number of encounters you have with God? Okay, that's most of you. Some of you aren't so sure. What can be scary, by the way? Some encounters with God are just a little, woo! I wasn't sure that I was ready for God to do that. And that's why he doesn't warn us. He's really a good God. He doesn't warn us sometimes with his surprises. But I do think it would be a good thing, and I think most of us think it would be a good thing if people got touched more by God. So I began to ask myself, what's the number one thing we can do to have more people touched by God, to have more encounters with God? Is it praying? Is it fasting? Is it prayer and fasting? Is it giving or preaching or teaching or, well, how about this for an interesting verse? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. And I'll let you, you know, if you want to, you can turn there, but you don't have to. I didn't announce it ahead of time, but it just this one verse is going to be used to kind of launch into some stuff today. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. And it's a real simple verse. We've all heard it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Don't know if that's how your version reads. I'm reading out of the New King James. I am there in the midst of them. How many think Jesus being in our midst would be an encounter? Yeah. But isn't Jesus always in our midst? I mean, isn't God, the Holy Spirit, isn't he always here? Is he always here or is he not always here? He's always here. Well, yeah, but then there are moments when he's here. Right? I mean, there's moments when we're like, oh, God's here. And then there are other moments when we're what's the difference in those moments? Because, you know, you can go, I mean, technically, some of you said he's always here. You're right, Psalm 139, go read it. Where can I go that your presence is not, oh God? You know, and he goes through all the places that, you know, you can try to go anywhere you want, but God's there. Jesus, in this verse, is inviting us into an experience of the awareness of him being there in our midst. The difference is the awareness. Sometimes it's, sometimes it's the awareness. Sometimes we're so busy with this that we're not sensing what's going on with this. And I understand that. I mean, like I said earlier, I had 2 grandkids with us all week. Boy, were we busy. 7 and 5 are really busy. They want to do something, and then you start doing it, and then they want to do something else. And then they want to do something else. We did visit all 5 parks in town. We turned that into an adventure where we visited all 5 parks, and then they voted on which one was the best park in town. I'll have you know their favorite is Carnes Avenue, the one over there. That's what they've decided is their favorite park. But we went everywhere. I didn't realize the splash pad was still open until they somehow turned it on. Oh, boy. Jesus is inviting us into a greater awareness. And that happens when we recognize, it says, if you're gathered together in my name. What does that mean? Well, it means we're recognizing him. We're giving him a credit for being there. We're bringing his name, his person, into what's going on. And when we do that, then it brings more to the table than I can bring to the table by myself, or you and me together can bring to the table. It brings more of what God wants on earth. And what does God want on earth? He wants on earth as it is in heaven. So it causes this encounter opportunity if we recognize it. So he's inviting us into encounter. For the last few years, I have been trying to write down the encounters that I have outside of the four walls, or even sometimes the ones that happen inside the four walls but don't happen in the normal course of what goes on during a service. Because I've got a thing on my computer, just says everyday encounters, and it has the dates that I have encounters. And for the last over a year, I have been putting down something on every date, or at least putting the date down and trying to remember what I did. There are days when I do things and I don't remember, and then a week later I'm like, oh yeah, that was last Tuesday. You know, you should have written that down. And I don't know about you, I'm not really super organized to remember to write stuff down all the time. Marlene can tell you that. It just happens that way. So I've been trying to write them down, and then I share some of those encounters with you all. You know, we share testimonies here. And I've shared a lot of encounters with you that God has done. And I get to do them because I've been working really hard on this for me. Not just so I could get you to do it, but for me. I want it for me. And you'll understand that better as I go on here. But I want to see heaven invade earth through me. I love, you know, the church, but I don't want this to be the only time that we encounter God. I want to be encountering God on an everyday basis. So today, I want to give you a playbook. John, can you do me a favor? Can you pass one of these out? Adults, I guess it's mainly adults in here anyway. I may not have quite enough. But pass those out. Yeah, get every adult. Every adult, yeah. And I'll get more for the kids later. I can give the kids some at youth tonight or something like that. And I think there'll be enough. And if not, we'll get you one later. Some of you will be like, I don't want one. But take it anyway. Just smile and take it and look at it. And pretend you're so excited. Just pretend you're excited. And, oh, Pastor, I can't wait to do this. This will be so exciting. because I want to give you a playbook, if you will. I want to give you a playbook through which you can have more encounters. Because again, I was saying, well, what do we have to do to have more encounters? And the answer is, you know,
pray harder.
No, it's really not. It's really not.
Well, fast. You have to fast at least 3 days a week if you really want to have real encounters.
No, that's not it either. You know, it's not my great preaching that makes all the encounters happen. It should be, but it's not. It's not. Those are not the things that I believe we need to do. I have some real practical things, and here is a list. And some of you are already looking at it, and you're already like, I don't know about this. Just hang on to it. I'll explain it, and then you'll get it. But what I'm going to give you is my 5 favorite plays. You know, we're making football analogies today. How many of you know you go to practice, and then the coaches explain the plays, and then you practice the plays, and then you try to execute the plays, and then if you execute the plays, you score touchdowns. Does this make sense to anybody? All right, so you get the analogy, right? We're trying to get touchdowns. We're trying to get God to come down and touch the situations and the people around us. All right, so here's what they are. They're at the top of this list, and I've written them down. They are greetings, prayers, blessings, testimonies, and prophecies. Greetings, prayers, blessings, testimonies, and prophecies. These are things that all of us can do, and I've been doing on a pretty regular basis, like almost every day. There have been days, I mean, you know, again, had the grandkids, they were sucking up all my time all one day, and I didn't talk to anybody but them. I should have laid hands on them several times, but anyway, I didn't. I love my grandkids. So, greetings. Actually, about 3 years ago, I did a whole message on greetings. You'd think that greetings weren't that big a deal, but they are a big deal. They were such a big deal that Paul did greetings almost every time he was with people or sent letters to people. And I even showed mathematically how much the greetings would have cost in one of Paul's letters, because you may not think of a letter as costing a whole lot, but back in that day, you got a scribe, you paid the scribe, you put it on parchment, the materials were expensive. There was a lot to it. And that whole message is available sometime if you want to check it out. I'll tell you where it's at if you need to listen to it. But Paul went out of his way to give all sorts of greetings to all sorts of people, both individually and as groups. And, for example, in Romans, he takes a chapter almost of the book of Romans just to send out greetings. And 40 greetings to 40 different groups or individuals to let them know that he's thinking of them. It's the way Paul made a lot of people feel valued. How many of you know that people around you need to feel valued? That's an easy way to start doing something that can lead to a touchdown. Because where two or more are gathered and you greet someone, especially the scripture says in Romans, with a holy kiss. Be careful with that. Don't get too carried away. But, you know, you're being very intimate with them is what it's saying. You're just letting them know. Becky did it today. I went out and stuck my hand out to shake hands. She comes, come here, give me a hug. You know, I like that. I'm a hugger. But I understand some of you are like, okay. We'll pray for you. But anyway, I'm just saying it's this thing that we can do. Sometimes just go out of your way to see somebody. I know you ran into Walmart and you're in a hurry. There's a guy at Walmart, though, that knows me by name every time he sees me. He knows I'm a pastor. And I always stop if he's there. And I always greet him. He's a greeter. That's his job. I help him do his job. And we exchange pleasantries and we talk. Sometimes I pray for him. Because that greeting thing can lead to things. If you greet someone warmly and you tell them, so good to see you today, it just means a lot right off the bat. And then, you know, maybe you can find a way to say, well, the Lord blessed me today to see you. Wouldn't that be cool? All of a sudden, you brought the Lord into it. And two or more just became a meeting where the presence can show up. So we've raised ourselves from the level we maybe were in of awareness to a higher level of awareness, and that brings more of an opportunity for the presence of God. So oftentimes when we meet people too, what do we say? Hey, how you doing? Don't we say that? Yeah. Often that can lead to another one of our plays. One of our playbook plays, prayer. What if they say, oh, I'm doing great. You know the best thing you can do is just grab them by the hand or put your hand on their shoulder and say, more, Lord, bless him. I'm just so glad to hear he's doing well. More, more, more. That's not a prayer. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a good prayer. You can just say something like, Father, we just agree with you that you want to do something to bless this person. And if they say that, oh, well, boy, we've been going through it. Everybody in our house has had the flu. Oh, Lord, just bless them. Touch them, God. Break off that flu off their house. You could just say that. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to get down on your knees.
Well, let's pray.
Just break out in prayer. And I have found that people don't, they rarely get upset if I say, well, Lord, just bless that need. Just touch their life in Jesus' name. They don't even have time to get mad. I did it too quick. Now, I think there are times when you'll probably be led to, well, can we pray about that? Or you can say, well, I'll be praying about that. But for right now, just say, let me just pray for you. You know, I've had one person that I can remember all these years that I've been grabbing people and praying for people. I've had one person who was not, they didn't know me. And so when I said, you know, something about praying for their situation, they were actually limping. And I said, hey, I think I know how we could help that feel better. And they said, how? And I said, prayer. And they were like, oh, no, amen. And that's the only time it's ever happened. Everybody else has been like, okay, let's do it. And then I already kind of said it when I said about praying and saying, bless them, Lord. Blessing. Blessing is a great thing, a great way to create an atmosphere shift and get a change for an encounter. Just say, Lord, bless them. You know, it's somebody you know. You can just bless their socks off. Bless their face. Oh, I heard about your son. He did good in cross country the other day and set a new personal record. I'm not talking about anybody special, Carson. But anyway, it's, you know, and you know, you just bless them. You just do things to encourage people. Wow. That's really a cool thing. And you can speak it out loud over them. How many of you know if we speak something out loud, we're speaking it into the atmosphere, and it can change the atmosphere, and it can actually become a word from the Lord for people. And that's a big deal. So just declare God's goodness right out loud and bless them. It doesn't have to be real specific, but maybe you'll have something specific. Maybe you'll bless them in a way they'll look at you and go, how did you know that? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you said something and they're like, well, you know, come to think of it. And again, they start to feel valued. They start to feel connected to. I believe that this is a recipe for the church in the time that we are living. Because I got to tell you, there's all sorts of things that we do as churches, as the body of Christ in America today. And this is something that doesn't require them to have to show up someplace because we invited them. But maybe if they ran into what happens if somebody runs into about five people from Bethel and Defiance? And every time they run into somebody from Bethel and Defiance, they get encouraged. Every time they run into somebody from Bethel and Defiance, God kind of shows up and they get a sense of the presence of God and the goodness of God and the love of God and that God values them. How long do you think it'll be before they start trying to go, well, now where is that Bethel? I need to look that up on my phone. I need to go out there some Sunday. That's the kind of church growth they did in a little thing called Jerusalem a couple thousand years ago. No billboards, no mass mailings, no special events. Just people loving people so much that they wanted to go where those people were going. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Yeah, good. Amen. That's a good thing to say sometimes. It encourages the poor old pastor up there just trying to get you to make sure you don't fall asleep is the best I can do sometimes. Okay. So, you know, you get a chance to bless people almost every time you go through a checkout line. Don't you? What do they say to you? Have a great day. Have a nice day. Have a good day. Stop and go, well, thank you. You have a blessed day too. Lord, bless this person today. Amen. And just walk off. Come on. It could be really good. And sometimes, you know me, I'm the one who says, they have a nice day, and I always say, it's unavoidable. Gotten in the habit of saying a lot lately, you know, this is the day that the Lord's made. If I don't mess up his day, it'll probably be a good one. God gave you a good day too. I hope you can have a great one. You know, just things like that. Just be sweet to people. Just change the atmosphere when you walk into a place like that. And I told you, it was my testimony, 2 weeks ago? I was walking through Menards and this one guy, I was in there several times one day. Well, you know, it's the way I shop. I always give my wife grief because she'll go into a place and she'll, you know, go into the mire and she'll walk back and forth and back and forth and she'll find things that wasn't on her list, which to me costs money. But nevertheless, she finds them. Me, I go to the store, I get what I need, I go home. And then I remember what I needed and I go back to the store to get what I need and then I go home. Except then I remember something else that I need and I go back to the store. That's a man. That's what men do. So anyway, not a smart man, but just a man. Another thing that a greeting can lead to is a testimony. This might take a little bit more finesse, but you know, you greet someone, you say, how you doing? They tell you how they're doing. You tell them how you're doing. Maybe you testify, oh, hey, God blessed us so much the other day. We just had a wonderful day. God did this and this. Maybe you do that in response to something that they had, and they might testify back to you about how good God's been to them. How many think testimonies are a really good way to get the presence of God to come down? It really is. Sometimes I've run into people, we start testifying back and forth to each other, and nearby people are going, what are you guys up to? What's God up to is what's really important. Sometimes when you are mentioning what God has done for you, and they've mentioned a need, and you mentioned again something that matches that need that God's done for you, that leads to more prayer. So the testimony and the prayer and the greeting, they're all wrapped together. I know, this might take a moment of your time when you're going into the store and you've got better things to do, like, I don't know, buy that outlet that you're going to put in the wall. You really need it right now. Or that, you know, I got to go over to the ice cream section and get ice cream. I don't have time for people right now. Let's not forget that Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Ooh. Because what else is on your list that I haven't talked about yet? Prophecy. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 teaches us that prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. To build up, stir up, cheer up. You know, you don't have to be like, you don't have to tell them their social security number and their mom's maiden name in a prophecy. You don't have to have information that you shouldn't have. Sometimes you just have information you don't know you have. And you just encourage them. You decide to start encouraging them. And as you're encouraging them, they're like, wow, that's crazy. You mentioned this or you mentioned that. You don't even know why you're mentioning it. But you're just encouraging them. You're building them up. You're telling them that they're valuable. You're making them feel valuable. You don't have to have an open vision or hear an audible voice to be used for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You just have to be saying things that are encouraging to them, and then suddenly the breath of God just kind of gets on that. And the breath of God starts riding on the breath of a man, and that is prophecy. That's what that is. So this week I was in with the pastors. We do a thing every week. Pastors were praying. And during pastor's prayer, I walked in late. I won't go into that. And I sat down and I see this guy who I don't know who he is, but as the meeting was going on and we were doing some praying, I found out that his name was Christian and he was from Copenhagen. He's not originally from Copenhagen. His English was very good. But he was a missionary to Copenhagen, and he was back in the States for a short trip, and his wife and kids were over in Copenhagen, and we were praying for them, and we prayed for him, and different things, you know, then were brought up, other prayers were said, and we had our prayer time, and then that Thursday was the meeting. We have a meeting once a month where we also have a official, you know, Defiance Regional Ministerial Association meeting, and we meet afterwards and take minutes and notes and, you know, talk about business and stuff. But in between the two meetings, we do this at Kingsbury Place. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. They always provide breakfast for us when we do this. So once a month, we go over there and they provide breakfast. So guys were getting their plates filled and stuff was going on. And I had to leave because I had a granddaughter and a grandson at home and a wife who I wanted her to be able to keep her hair. So I decided that it would be good to not stay extra long that day. But before I left, I looked over at the missionary and he had on this striped shirt. And it was blue stripes. And it almost looked like it was rippling. There was a kind of a pattern in the blue stripes. And it just kind of popped out to me, and I felt like the Lord said, "Hey, pay attention." So I'm looking at that, and I'm going, "Yeah, stripes, they're blue." And he goes, "Yeah, streams." Okay. And the Lord began to speak to me and was telling me that this guy is going to have some streams that are going to flow in to help his ministry, and that some of the streams will be different, that they won't be like normal expected streams. You know, because normally missionaries get their stream of income from churches, but I don't know that that was what it was exactly. I just told him the little bit that the Lord gave to me. And so I walked over, sat down. Him and another pastor was there. I tried not to make a big deal of it. And I just looked at him and I told him what the Lord was giving me about the streams. And he goes, "Wow." He says, "That's a really good confirmation. That's what's been happening. We're getting these opportunities." And he started talking about the blessings of the Lord was. And he said, "Thank you so much." I was a little unsure whether I could share. How many of you know not all pastors are necessarily in the same stream or extreme as some people like me? You know, they're like, "I don't know if God does that anymore." But he was very open and very receptive. And it was a blessing to him. And it was exactly what he needed to hear. And he told me that. And I thought, that's cool. Now, again, that's a little different level of prophetic ministry, but I have found myself given opportunities to prophesy over waitresses and waiters and people in strange places, and God just starts giving me stuff. But it starts with some simple things, like just making people feel valued and greeting them. And so I told him that. And then my thought was, "Touchdown!" Not really. But afterwards, when I was preparing for this message, I thought, "Touchdown! Yeah, come on, spike the ball. Yeah, come on, we did good." You know? Do a dance. No, it's just, I didn't do all that. But I was really happy that it blessed him. It really made me happy that it blessed him. So here's the question. Why should we do this? Okay, are you ready? A lot of times I change my grammar and my messages to make sure I say "we" because I don't want to pick on you. But today I'm picking on you. Why should you do this? Look at somebody next to you and say, "He's talking about you." Why should you do this? All right. This message isn't going to be short today, but I'm going to give it to you because you got to hear this. In John 4, verse 34, we read, "Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" You remember the story. This is the woman at the well. Jesus is bumping along with the guys. They stop at a well. There's no bucket there to get anything out of it. But he sits down by the well and the guys are like, "We're going into town, master. We'll bring you something." He's like, "Good. Let me sit here a minute." Even Jesus got physically tired. So he sits down, he's tired, and then out of nowhere comes this woman. You know the story. She comes and she starts talking to him and he starts talking to her about living water. And she's like, "Where are you going to get it? You don't even have a way to get this water out." Remember? And then he starts telling her stuff and all of a sudden he's got words of knowledge about what's going on in her life. And she's like, "Are you the Messiah?" And he says, "Yep." That's kind of how it came out. And about that time, she heads back into town. And as she's heading back, the guys are coming in and they're looking at Jesus. He's been talking to that woman, which is not what he's supposed to do. It's not part of the culture. And she's heading back into town. And they come out and they say, "Hey, we brought you some food." And he goes, "I don't need your food. I'm feeling good. Na, 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 na." Well, okay, he didn't do that part. But he did feel good. He felt refreshed. He says, "I have food you don't know about." And they're like, "Did someone bring him some food? What? What?" God wants to bless you in this way. And over the last several years, and especially in the last year when I've been working at this a little bit harder than I was ever before, God has blessed me so many times. I haven't shared all the testimonies that I've got with you. And some of them aren't that special. Some of them are just, I called somebody. I took a minute and I called somebody and I cheered them up. And they thanked me for it. Not because I'm the pastor, just because I called them. Some of the people I called weren't people in my church. They were just people, friends from the past. Make connections with them. It's a wonderful thing. God wants to bless you in these encounters. God wants to bless you in these encounters. And when you're blessing someone else, guess what happens? Touchdown. When the touchdown comes, you get blessed too. I was watching football yesterday. And I haven't done that much in the last several years. I just kind of became less and less of a football fan. I stopped watching pro football a long time ago. I like college football. And yesterday I just got caught up in a game and I was watching and I was enjoying it. And the main quarterback got knocked out, so a second quarterback came in. And it wasn't very long until he's limping around and he's getting beat up. But their team is really playing really well, and they're playing the number one team in the nation, and they are beating them and should have beat them. Cotton picking referees missed two really important calls. But settle down, Tim. So I'm watching, and there's this drive, and he's going down the field, and every time he snaps the ball and they execute a play, and you know, some of them are, you know how it is on a drive. Some plays are better and some plays are worse. You know, there's a short run, they make some positive, then somebody catches the running back in the backfield or the quarterback in the backfield, and this guy's jumping up after almost every play and he's limping. You can tell he's hurting and he's just limping. And you know, then he'll get the guys in the huddle, he'll call the play, he'll limp up to the center, stick his hands underneath, you know, take the ball, kind of limp backwards. And he did that several times. And on this one particular play, he limps backwards, looks, and there's a guy wide open, throws the ball, and the guy runs in for a touchdown. Woohoo! And it was so amazing because I watched the quarterback, and for about 5 or 10 seconds, he forgot his leg was killing him. Right? You know that can happen, right? He was so excited about what happened. The moment, touchdown, yeah! And he runs about 10 yards, and then he goes like this. He starts limping again. Now, he wasn't faking it. He just, for 10 yards, for 10 seconds, whatever it was, he had something going on that took him out of where he was and put him into something better. This is what I want for you. What if you could have one of those encounters every day? What if you could have an everyday encounter? What if you could touch someone and be touched by the presence of God as two people gather together in the name of Jesus, and you greet someone and you make someone feel valued and you do this and you do that, and all of a sudden you're talking to them and you got no idea that you're reading their mail and they know it and you don't even know it, but the Holy Spirit just came in on that situation and prophecy broke out. I'm not telling you to go out and go, ha, thus saith the Lord, come here. Everybody in the shop, show up over here. We're going to talk to you all about Jesus. Yeah, I know what you've been doing. Okay, you know, that kind of thing. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about letting the Lord use you to encourage, to edify, exhort, build up, stir up, cheer up someone. It's possible. Now, you can grab these sheets and you can try to do it for the next 21 days. You know, they say if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. What if you really tried? What if you made a difference in people's lives? Well, I don't want to be challenged like this. Tough. Why do you think you're still here? Why do you think God left you here? Holy Spirit, come take them if they don't want to do what you left them here to do. Put me in your will, by the way.
Because you're leaving soon. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously, I'm messing with your life, but why am I doing that? Because I want you to be blessed. I'm not trying to talk you into doing something that you aren't going to get something out of. What happened to Jesus when he did what he did? He didn't even need to eat. He had food that they didn't even know of. Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. Wonder what kind of testimonies could come out of this if everybody in the church started doing this. Again, I'm not going to ask for you to turn these back in. I am not going to grade these. I will never see them again unless you bring one to me. I am not pressuring you with the wrong kind of pressure. But I am trying to encourage you in the Lord that if you start taking time to bless people, the Lord is going to start to bless you. And your life will get more encounters and more fruitfulness and more excitement. And your life will have life, and that abundantly. Come on. Is there anybody who doesn't want abundant life? You want more life? And I'm not talking about you interrupting your day. I'm not even saying, here's your assignment. Tomorrow, Monday, wake up and decide that you're going to go out first thing in the morning and have an encounter before you do anything else. No. No, just go about your day, but try to do something to make yourself aware that today is the day that the Lord has made, and it might be a good day for me to have a touchdown where God reaches down and touches me and someone with me. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. This could be a big difference. And some of you are already doing this, but I'm encouraging even those who already do it to get a little bit more fanatical about it. Everyday encounters. That's the title of this message. Everyday encounters. And if we have everyday encounters, I believe that we will get blessed and we will see our community rocked. How many people does it take to rock the community? Is this church big enough? He only had 12 disciples and they rocked the world. You can do this by text. You can do it by instant messaging. You can do it by phone. You can just drive over to somebody's house and say, hey, haven't seen you in a while. Thought I'd stop by and knock on your door and say hi. You can catch him at the mall. Well, maybe not many people there. You can catch him at Walmart. You can just run into people at random and just greet them. Start there. And then go home and write down, I saw Billy Bob today and I greeted him. If you just had 21 days of greeting, I would think that would be great. Because probably most of us don't even do 21 days of greeting people. I believe it's an awesome opportunity. And I want you to be the one who gives opportunity to the Spirit to do what he wants to do and what only he can do. So put your hand on your heart. Lord, I recognize, and I don't want to be mean, this may be a little scary for some people. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit. Things in the spirit, things that we can't see, can't control, they can be a little scary, but they can be really, really, really good. So I pray that you'll work in our hearts and our minds, that you'll cause us to want to be those people carrying heaven and bringing it to earth everywhere we go, so that people can know that there is a God and that he loves them and that they are blessed and that we can bring those blessings to them. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,